The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Kelly will drive one in the air to left field. Back goes Fraley. That ball is gone. Ball game is tied. Carson Kelly, a two-run home run. Here's the pitch to Carson. A swing and line drive down the left field line. Fair ball. Cubs win the game. Carson Kelly delivers.
Carson's kind of been battling it offensively. He's been so important for us this year, and he's been such an important presence on both sides of the ball. I'm just happy for him. Like, he was due for this.
We kept fighting. Went down early and then kept fighting little by little. You know, just to be able to get put in that situation is special.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hello and good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Happy September. Happy game week. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. We join broadcasting live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have it, breaking news on the Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Our producers today, Robbie Triano, we got Baby T in the house. Are you even going by your last name, Tyler? Are we just doing Baby T?
You can say Tyler Farringle, a.k.a. Baby T,
right,
or known as Baby T.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to talk to people about
name?
These things.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Wait, I thought it was just Baby T. Oh, my bad.
You thought his first name was Baby?
Yeah,
first name, baby, last name, was T.
Yeah,
T.
Yeah, these
so
are...
He pities the fool.
That's the... Oh, well...
Oh, okay.
I pity the fool.
All right.
I like it, Robbie. Right. I like it. Let's get a little weird. All right, so Baby T Farringle... Just kidding. Baby T, Tyler Farringle, one of our producers as well. Happy to have you in. And we also have Brandon Fryer helping out. You can text us 312-644-6767. You can also call us because we have a question for you. 312-644-6767. And you can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. We are happy to have you as well. And our question is this. What are your objectives for the Bears, after seeing the three preseason games, after knowing who's going to be on this team, if you're like Ben Johnson and company, if you're game planning for the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night, you got that extra day, too, to work with. What are your objectives for this team? I suggested offensive. I suggested defensive. I also want to shout out our video team, by the way, on Twitch, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. Good morning to all of you, and good morning to everybody listening. So, again, the question to everybody, you can call, you can text, you can talk to us on Twitch, you can have a moment with yourself in your heart. Objectives for this Bears team. You want an offense one, you want a defense one. For me, after seeing what we saw out of the first three preseason games, which I actually think were a good sample, you got to kind of roll out, see what you could do. You got to play a Bills team that played their backups. You got to see who you are against a really good, I think, amount of what you can get out of the Chiefs team. Tyson Bagent, best week ever. Congratulations to him. But at the same time, knowing what you now know about this group and this personnel, for me, number one, the objective should be not necessarily 2-minute drill. I need to know what you're doing for that first drive. I need to know what you're going to communicate. We saw a lot of very successful drives happen for the Bears, I think, after first drives because they tried to establish a little bit more of the run game. Is that the identity we're going to see with this team? Not necessarily, but how is one thing building on another? I feel like that's a big part of the Ben Johnson offense. So number one for me, figure out your offensive rhythm for that number one drive. 1A for me offensively is figure out who your left tackle is going to be against Minnesota. Defensively, my objective, I think it's got to be, how much do you want to get home? How much do you want to rush the passer in this first game, trying to figure out how to rattle a rookie quarterback's cage in J.J. McCarthy? So those are my two objectives. What are yours?
So I think we're somewhat aligned because specifically on defense, but on offense, it's very simple. Run the football and run the football well. And I guess you need to know who your left tackle is to do such a thing. But Ben Johnson predicates everything he does in terms of explosive plays, in terms of being an offense that you can't stop, on the fact that, hey, one thing I know you can do is run the football. So the Bears have to be able to run the football at all costs. DeAndre Swift should be a monster. He's on my fantasy team, by the way, because I believe in DeAndre Swift and the Bears offense. I think when you look at Ben Johnson specifically this week, going up against a Brian Flores-led defense, he knows exactly what it is and what it ain't, and the chaos that can ensue. But if you run the football, that solves a lot of problems, because now the defense has to be somewhat on their heels in terms of a pass rush, whatever you want to call it, the chaos that a defensive coordinator like Brian Flores has been known to bring, because, hey, we got to worry about you running the football. Defensively, it's very simple. Make rookie quarterbacks look like rookie quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well, and technically we know that he's not really a rookie. But he basically is, because he's a red shirt, essentially, after what happened with his injury.
Okay, make a red shirt quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap in a regular season game.
There it is.
I'll clear it up for you. And when I say that, the Vikings are very good. Their record last year showed us how good they can be. And a lot of that, of course, had to do with taking a quarterback that maybe others had seen as washed and making him whole again. Well, with J.J. McCarthy, there's a blank slate there. And so Dennis Allen's sole job this week is to make the rookie, or excuse me, redshirt freshman quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap in a regular season game. If you do that, they should win the game. Two objectives.
That also brings up a good point, by the way. This has been floating around. Ben Baby of ESPN, fellow North Texas alum, Ben asked the question about what labor practice should change in the NFL, and it was said the response he got was, if you've played on a practice squad for two seasons, then you should get a year of real NFL service time. I thought that was a good point. So I feel like that's kind of in the same vein that we're joking about redshirt freshman quarterback J.J. McCarthy. We know what his contract says. That year was taken away from him because of injury. I say all of that, though, to say that he has to be treated that way. This has to be a welcome to the NFL moment if you're the opposing team. I'm sorry that it's a local guy who is on the other side. And yes, he warmed everyone's heart both with his play when he was at Nazareth and when he was playing for Michigan. But unfortunately, in this case, you got to put that away when it comes to trying to see what the Bears are going to do. The most important objective for me is not just what you want to see, what you think is a reasonable, what you want to see out of this team after the first three preseason games. It's also knowing that this isn't a finished product. Is it making an excuse? No. It's just saying your base layer is probably what you're going to be getting right now as you try to figure out what's going to work with this group of personnel. And that's why left tackle is so critical. Was it the only reason the Bears lost the game last year on Monday night in Minnesota? No. But did it show you what your needs were? Yes. And did you address them in a way that you found to be acceptable? When we're still having to ask questions about who that's going to be when the three-person race turned into a four-person race, I don't want it to come down to that. I don't want the success of this team offensively against a Brian Flores defense to come down to that one issue. But unfortunately, I think it's going to play a big factor.
I think you're right. And I think dropping Karen Amagaji into an indoor stadium for his first NFL experience was just a horrible idea, no matter who you ask. And remember, he didn't even start that week knowing he was going to be the starter at left tackle. That's what made that crazy. It's like midweek, they're like, okay, you're going to be the starter.
And I get it from the fact of they thought he had earned it. I get that you like the people you want to bring onto your team. And you say to yourself, this person has done what we need him to do to earn this moment. But that's where the problem lies. What did you need? Because what we saw were two different things.
With him specifically, and we don't even know where Karan Amagaji is going to end up on the depth chart, which kind of speaks to what we're talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That is a scrambled egg situation when you talk about left tackle. But Ben Johnson got paid all the money to be the head coach and the play caller because he's supposed to be able to work around the shortcomings of some of his talent. And remember how much they invested, when you talk about offseason moves and the draft, in that offense. So I don't want to hear any excuses, because you knew what you were doing, Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles. I don't want to hear any excuses. Like, you get there, and now we're here, and now show me something. And your other point was very valid, Layla. Very much a work in progress, as all these NFL teams are, but with a first-year head coach and all new coaching staff and a lot of new parts, they're a little bit further behind than everybody else as far as how much work needs to be done.
This segment where we ask you, if you're the head coach, what are your objectives for this Bears team getting ready for the Vikings, on Raheemi and Harris on the Score, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Like I said, we want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. You can call us or text us or hang out with us on Twitch. We've actually got a really good list so far. 630, excellent point, no pre-snap penalties. I think, unfortunately, this is an omelet where you're going to have to break some eggs in the beginning, because a complicated offense is going to probably result in that. Also from 630, proper time management. Now I feel like I'm being seen.
They're starving for the basics. 239, number one, offensive competence. And that's such a big umbrella, right?
That's such a high bar.
So, no, but...
Think about the teams who are offensively competent. That eliminates half the league.
They're basing this on the lack of offensive competence they saw in so many moments last year. It goes like this. If we go back to, like, what do you want objectively to have happen? It's offensive competence for the offense. It's make the redshirt freshman quarterback look like a guy who's never taken an NFL snap. It's very basic concepts that you're not sure your team can do based on the past.
Well, and I think as much as we talk about how much of the Ben Johnson offense we haven't seen yet, and I want to get into this with Adam Amin when he joins us for the hour in studio at 1 o'clock, it's not just that. It's how much of the Dennis Allen defense do you really thought you've seen? Like, do you really think you've seen it all? Especially when you know, like, for example, I am, in a way, thankful that the Chiefs went after Nashon Wright as much as they did when it came to same idea. Oh, you're the new guy? Or you're the one who's going to have to pick up the slack here?
Fresh meat.
Hi, welcome to Arrowhead. Patrick Mahomes is going to tell you what's going on a few times in this game. Because you have to have that. You have to have your weakest links be exposed when you're depending on that person later on. Same thing goes for what you know the Vikings have to do on Monday night.
They needed to be humbled. And here's why I say that. Because you want an accurate starting point. You don't want to believe that you're somewhere that you're not yet. And with the Bears, there was this sense that, okay, we handled the Bills well in practice, and the joint practices with the Dolphins went well, even though they apparently didn't get the memo on how physical things were about to get. And that Chiefs game on the road, Arrowhead, it's such a great measuring stick. And now Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen, the coaches can be like, oh, you see all that film we're about to show you and how bad we looked? These are all the things we have to work out if we want to be good, if we actually want to be good. You could talk a good game, but now you know what it looks like and how bad it is.
Also, 815, excellent question, because we were talking about this in our pre-show meeting, and Baby T is here and he was present for that night as well. Monday night after the Bears game, are you going to have that all-night midnight show like last year? Thanks. Text me, Steve Princeton, Illinois. Please. Poor Tyler. He was on the phone just being a therapist after we did the post-game show last year. And then it was me, Patrick Manley, and Olin. And then Pat Manley and I are just venting for at least several minutes after that show wrapped up. And poor Tyler's like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Please hold and we'll get to you.
I felt the same way as them. So I personally felt what they were going through.
You were so nice to them. I felt like you were an empathetic listener. How angry were those calls last year?
A lot of them, I can't repeat what they would say. And I'd be like, gotta tone it down. Can't be that angry.
It's a good call screener.
It's whether or not you can be angry or depressed. Because I think there's a mix, right? You go from one, like, this is hopeless, and the anxiety that comes with that, to the, I can't believe these, you fill in the blanks, played like that in this type of game. And we're talking here on Raheemi and Harris about the objectives for week one for the Chicago Bears. We're going offense and defense. We've stated ours. What are yours? Got some interesting responses here on the text line. 847. I love the micro expectations. I'm going macro. offense scores at least one more point than the defense allows. All caps, win game one.
Okay. Yes. I like the clever way it is said. I do. It's one of those where you're trying to shorten the meeting from, what, an hour to 5 minutes? Problem solved. Just win, baby.
9-4-0. Caleb will be good, guys. Chill. I don't think anybody was taking shots at Caleb. We have expectations and objectives for him to follow.
Caleb will be good, guys. Chill. Text. Okay, what does that mean for you? How do you think that happens? Because I don't think that being guys chill on the field is going to necessarily work that out. Especially when, like we said, we started going over the numbers from the last Vikings games. You know, yeah, that was the case in game one. That was a much better game for the Bears when they only lost 30-27. But it was still, you know, not the macro expectation that the other texter described.
I think also for these Bears, having a sense in that building of what the objectives are could be more important than anything else, because if you don't have a stated goal, there's no way to reach the goals. If you don't have simplistic understanding of what we are trying to do this week in preparation for this game against this specific team, this defense, this offense, then you've already lost the battle. So I know that was an issue last year with the coaching staff, everyone being on the same page, but I feel like Ben Johnson, hey, it's week one. He hasn't coached an NFL game as a head coach yet. He has already got them organized in the way you would want to have a team organized.
Well, that's it for me. As much as we have talked about that as a show, and I think you've brought it up quite a bit. Oh, well, you've got to see him head coach. You've got to see him head coach. Yeah, sure. But at the same time, you know that you've gotten a guy with a bigger resume than what was going in for at least his two predecessors. And that's the issue for me. It wasn't just Matt Eberflus as a coordinator. It was also Matt Nagy, because as we know, Nagy wasn't calling the plays in Kansas City. All of that said, it still took so long for the Ben Johnson offense to actually happen as it is realized, as we know it today, for the Lions. You know, we're going to bring this up a lot. Lions went 1-6, you know, in the first seven games of that offense coming together. And I think that is an important note when it comes to all of this, that even with a quarterback who had the pedigree of Jared Goff and a quarterback who also had the experience under a Sean McVay offense too at that point, you know, comes over from LA. I think about that a lot in this. There is going to be a grace period. Does it mean excuses? No. What is your best friend in all of these situations then? To run the football.
Run it well. Because, you know, I've seen them run the football and not get much done, but to run it well would be objective number one. That's what Ben Johnson's offenses have been predicated on, no matter what you want to say about exactly who the personnel are, what the schemes are. If you can't run the football, you can't establish what he needs to be able to do the play action and all the other stuff.
It's not even that, though. It's also just, if you don't have enough answers yet about your football team, and that comes on the offensive side of the ball. Frankly, are the Vikings saying the same thing this week? When in doubt. Now, granted, they've got some receivers that make it, you know, a pretty sexy choice to throw the football in Justin Jefferson, for example. You know, you don't have Jordan Addison.
Love that.
So, all of that said, though, when in doubt, what am I doing? Me? Fake Coach Layla? I'm running the ball. Like, period.
I think you're doing that even if you're real Coach Layla. That's my belief.
Frankly, yes. If I'm real Coach Layla and I see that it gets me more than 3 yards a play, yeah, there's a good chance I'm doing that.
You could do the math on that. First down, every four downs, if you're yards a play.
I'm throwing some people down if I'm on the offensive line. I'm busting some heads if I get the chance. We want you to do the same. 312-644-6767. Join the conversation. We have a lot of people who have called in, a lot of texts, and a lot of people hanging out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. This is Raheem and Harris. If you're the coach, what is your objective for the Bears to try to beat the Vikings this week? Now that you've seen what you hope you got to see, we'll continue the conversation next on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Come on. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, and we're getting you ready for game week by asking the simple question. One offensive objective, one defensive objective. Heck, throw special teams in there if you want.
Special teams might need some attention.
So what are your objectives for this week, this specific game week, as you were trying to get this team ready against the Minnesota Vikings? Now that you've seen at least three samples of preseason games where it might not be the actual playbook, you kind of have an idea of your talent on the field. You still need to know who your left tackle is officially. You're trying to figure out what to do against this Minnesota Vikings team with J.J. McCarthy and his first real NFL game. Those are the objectives you have ahead of you. We've gotten a lot of calls. We've gotten a lot of texts. And our Twitch mob is hanging out, twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. That was just a test of the emergency broadcast system, guys, just so you were aware. So a lot of good texts. I appreciate the discussion. And just like this one, 785, I have 2 points. We talk about DeAndre Swift. This offensive line has to dominate the line of scrimmage every running down. And then second, Braxton Jones or another tackle against Jonathan Grenard. Latter guy is a man. Enjoy the day. Sometimes the Twitch or the text line gets broken up and we can't always read things smoothly. But still, the thought remains. I think a lot of people talking about the run, Marshall. I think a lot of people talking about what they want to do at the line of scrimmage. I would love to also have dominance at the line of scrimmage. That would make my life very easy. I'd be watching fun football games.
Listen, I know that people take what we say sometimes and they take it to heart, which is good. We want to stoke the fire of your emotions sometimes. 847 on the text line. So the offense score one more than the defense. So the Bears lose on special teams. Ugh. That goes back to the special teams might need a shout out.
Yeah, if I hear the phrase low trajectory this season, I'm just going to pause and I'm going to let you wonder what the reaction's going to be. So let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. We go out to LA and we hear from Jordan on the score. Jordan, you're on with Rahimi and Harris. How are you?
Hey guys, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What are your objectives for this team this week?
Yeah, offensively, keep it simple. We're just second and short, third and short. We can't have any mental mistakes. No false start. No illegal motions. That set us back the past couple years. And then defensively, it's even more simple. Get off the field in third down. Past 5 to 10 years, third and eight, third and 10. I feel like we sit back and cover two, give up 9 yards, give up 11 yards every time, you know, give them a whole new set of downs. But keep it simple on both sides.
Yeah, good point about the defense as well. Don't let the chunk plays happen, especially if they're in a third and long situation. How many times have we seen teams be able to be successful when it comes to moving the chains? Thanks for the call from L.A., Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. He's up early to listen to us. I appreciate that. Also on the third and long, it's okay to just sack the quarterback and make it longer, fourth and longer. I'm a big fan of fourth and longer.
So as a friendly reminder, Adam Amin is going to be in studio with us for the hour at 1 o'clock, and I'm really excited to talk to him. But it also picks up on even what you and I were talking about over the weekend in our casual conversation, Marshall, trying to figure out what the pass rush is really going to look like. Obviously, with Micah Parsons, which we'll get into at 11 o'clock, the concept of you thinking about your own team's pass rush, given what the Packers just did. But isn't that kind of the point? Like, how are you answering? And what do you think the Bears are going to do as far as going for sacks? And I don't have the exact answer yet. I think we had one texter say, like, Montez Sweat had better get, 630. Montez Sweat needs to have at least one sack. Man, I completely agree.
The needs was in all caps to emphasize that this is not a want or a desire. This is a necessity for the Bears defense. I don't need Montez Sweat to have a sack, but I do need the Bears as a team to have sacks. And if Montez Sweat's presence causes others to get sacks, I'll be good with that.
815, why are you guys so worried about left tackle when last year the whole line sucked? And at least this offseason, they actually got a center and beefed up every other spot on the line except left tackle. Ben Johnson can do things with the line just given time. That's a Robbie in Freeport. Robbie, yes, I agree. But the problem is left tackle is still considered the most important position in the league. Did I feel a lot better being able to see Drew Dahlman really have some nice blocks, especially to help keep that pocket formed against the Chiefs? Yes, but if you know it's as simple as line up against their weakest link, and their weakest link is the most important part, that blind side, and Braxton Jones or whoever is getting pushed into Caleb Williams when they want to drop back, that is an issue. Is it worth the discussion? Absolutely. Let's stick to the phones. Jeff in Kalamazoo, you're on with Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. As you might, I don't know if you remember last year, I gave you the parody song, The Bears Are Gonna Bears, with the line...
I remember.
They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. Hopefully that is going to be reversed this year. What I'm looking for in this first game is I want to see the offense actually go down the field and score some points and get some first downs to relieve the defense in the first half. And then on the defense, I want to see a pass rush and get some sacks. But first and foremost, after watching the KC game, they have to stop the run. They cannot get blown off the line, because Minnesota is probably going to run the ball to help JJ out to start. And then you want to make him throw the ball down the field. And if he doesn't have to even do that because they're running all over the Bears, it's going to be a long day for the Bears. But that's what I'm looking for. And no parody songs, probably.
Jeff, I thought your parody songs were great. I appreciate your contributions to the meatball machine. I think you do a fabulous job. That was Jeff.
Thank you so much, Jeff. This is a perfect time. I want to remind people that the meatball machine has not closed. The meatball machine is in full effect all season long. You can talk Cubs, you can talk Bears, you can talk White Sox, you can talk whatever you want. But the meatball machine is open. Go into the Odyssey app. You can leave a message. Talk to us about whatever's concerning you, bothering you, whether it be sports or otherwise, really, because we've taken some non-sports stuff on the meatball machine as well.
Yeah, the meatball machine doesn't talk back. So if you need to vent there, it's kind of like a note to self. You can do that. It's the leave a voice message feature on the Odyssey app. And Jeff did leave a fabulous song. Let's continue. What are your objectives for the Bears? If you're head coaching, what are the things you're focusing on? Give me two main things, on one on each side of the ball. Ant in D.C. Ant, you're on with Raheemi and Harris on The Score.
Hey, Layla, Mars, what's going on? Week one, yay!
Yay!
Yeah, we're here. Let's do it.
We made it.
Right. What I'm looking for, to be honest, is the competence to translate from the last coaching staff, because, I mean, to be honest, Caleb almost went down and beat him. And I'm looking for Cairo Santos to kind of prove me wrong, because I know he has this streak of doing what he needs to do when he needs to do it, except, you know, the moments that he kind of doesn't come through for us. And I need to see the defense, like, really hold it down in prime moments, especially when we go down the field and score moments and we bring us back to win, and then these guys let failed Marys happen and things like that, you know. And for a bonus, Tory Taylor, I need to see, you know, because you're going to be a slugout with the Vikings. So I need to see Tory Taylor actually be what they drafted him to be.
A weapon. You want a weapon that makes fourth round draft pick look valid. I get it. I'm with
Kicker
him on
talk
that.
On the score. I love it.
No, but it's true though. Ant, we appreciate the call. Thank you. And frankly, the concept of just run more plays as an offense. It sounds so simple, and it sounds dumb to almost say it, or like I'm being delusional cheerleader.
No, you're not being delusional.
Like, just run more plays. But like, when you go three and out so many times, and as a defender, I'm thinking to myself, I got to get back on the field again. And the next thing you know, the time of possession clock actually matters, which in today's NFL is pretty impressive if it does. That's the thing you don't want to have happen. Move the damn chains on third down. Don't even get to third down.
It's okay not to get to third down. 309, echoing your sentiment. Good morning, friends. How about just sustained offensive drives that keeps the defense off the field and fresher for later in the game? You don't necessarily have to score on every drive, but it keeps the opposition's defense on the field and your defense rested. Sort of flipping the script, right? What a novel concept.
It's a well-presented thought. Unfortunately, it has to be a thought. Like, we're like, you don't even have to get points on every drive. You just need to get enough yards to kill some time.
I am interested to see how specifically the new kickoff rules, Layla, because of, you know, how aggressive everyone is already on fourth down and short.
Yes.
Compared to in the past.
Yes.
Kicking the field goal doesn't have the same message as it did when you were pinning somebody back inside the 20 on kickoffs. And now 30, 35, 40-yard line is going to be more of an average starting space after a kickoff.
Well, it should be, but you've got overconfident kick returners who are like, I got this. And then it's like, no, actually, you didn't have it, and you only got back to the 17. Let's continue. 312-644-6767. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. That is the show within a show. So we go to Dom on the west side. Dom, you're on with Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Hey, people, how y'all doing? So, offensively, I would say making sure that we're protecting the backside of the quarterback, getting Braxton Jones some help and figuring their left tackle spot out, making sure that Caleb Williams is getting the ball out quick, and if he's not, get on his butt ASAP, figuring out who that spell running back going to be outside of Swift offensively. Defensively, I want to see the defensive line married to the secondary because obviously that's going to be important with all the blitzing and pressures that we're bringing. Special teams, just do your job. Don't mess the game up. You know, cover the kickoffs appropriately. You know, don't let them get no more extra field position or that hidden yard thing. And, you know, hit the field goals. And like you said, Tory Taylor, let's go with the field position. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Dom, that was great. Coach Dom on the west side. Everybody's calling out Tory Taylor.
I don't want to see any Tory Taylor this year.
No.
Guys,
Should you
have included special teams in the expectations?
Well, we did. We
had to.
We were able to weave it in. Because it was a concern last year. Games were decided because of special teams last year. That is undeniable.
Yes. Like I said, I don't want to hear the phrase low trajectory ever again this season, tomorrow. But you know what I mean? Like, if we're talking about that, that means something didn't change. An important thing didn't change. And neither did the special teams coach. So that can't be discussed. I do think, again, something I want to talk to Adam Amin about at one is I'm just building topics for him where it's just basically Layla yelling questions. But he talked about how Kairos Santos did work on that very thing. Like, that was something that he wanted to work on and improve. I just hate that another NFL team had to show him first in a game-winning situation.
By all accounts, Kairos Santos has the strongest leg he's ever had as a professional kicker. That's good news.
It's like being the best shape you've ever been in out of the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, but we've seen it, though. He's booting them further and farther. That's good news for the Bears. Let's see if he can sustain it over the course of a 17-game season. Hey, how about this? Let's see if he can sustain it over the course of a 17-game season and then some. Have I gone too far?
Coach Marshall, coach him up, Marshall Harris. Where you remember what the ceiling is for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Lures?
Yeah, but I just gave you a possibility in which 7 to 8 wins is not the ceiling for the Bears. That's a more important thing.
It shouldn't be. You know how I feel about it,
yes.
Especially when you extend your GM. Let's stay on the phones, 312-644-6767. I think this is our last one for the segment. Bill in Homer Glen. Bill, you're on with Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Yeah, what's up, guys? So I'm going to tell you what I think on the offense, but I have to defer, first of all, because I don't know that much about anything. When you said left tackle, I think that's definitely something that we have to watch for. But my main concern at this point is the quarterback.
Yeah.
I've got to see him look like, not like the first pick or the generational quarterback, but I just need to see him look like a quarterback. And I need to see on defense, I need to see some ends get to the quarterback on their side. So I think we can do that. Maybe we can win a game. So,
Bill, thank you for your call. And I agree, the older I get, the less I know.
Yeah, you're going to lose some knowledge along the way. But Bill's...
No, it's the fact that you know you don't have enough.
Well, yeah, I only have so much capacity. That's my issue. But for Bill, the Caleb Williams thing, it's funny. As many calls and texts as we've gotten, he's been kind of on the back burner. That's not the main concern because they're keeping it even more simple than the number one overall pick.
When you know your talent is good, when you know he's got talent, I think that makes it a different conversation. Like, you're not game planning for what he can't do as much as you're trying to figure out what's the best use of what he can do. And so many times, I feel like from a coaching standpoint, you're trying to, again, adjust for your weakest link. It's a balance of both. I think college is a good example of seeing that, and perhaps the game we saw last night, North Carolina and TCU, is a good example of that. When you can't game plan and find solutions for what is not working on your team, then that's where you have the real issue. We have more to come here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We got to shift gears because the Cubs had quite the dramatic baseball game last night. notable for what we saw out of this season. And also, I want to talk about something that I think hitting-wise is encouraging for this team. We'll do that next here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the pitch to Carson. A swinging and line drive down the left field line. Fair ball. Cubs win the game. Carson Kelly delivers. Cubs are mobbing in between first and second base. Listen to this crowd.
Listen to the crowd at Wrigley who stayed for that game yesterday and got to see some real big theater. This is Raheemi and Harris on 670 The Score. That is, of course, the voice of Pat Hughes, who we always love to hear. And an exciting way to begin this Braves and Cubs series. What I like to call, Marshall, the Superstation Series.
That is an accurate name.
The Cubs walk it off in 10 by a final of 7-6. And more importantly, they also come back. And of course, Carson Kelly was a big part of this, as we know. Really encouraging for, I think, a few different reasons. Not only did he have the big walk-off hit, as we mentioned, Walk It Out. I love that song. But also just what he was able to do in key moments to help not only keep the Cubs on the board, but then tie the game at 6 in the 8th inning. I can't say enough about what he has meant to the team at the times they've really needed him this year. I didn't think it was going to be this sustainable, and here we are talking about him in September.
He went 2-for-18 on the road trip, and he has been putrid since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
He badly needed a game like that.
The Cubs didn't necessarily need his bat until the offensive deficiencies started showing up elsewhere, and I think that's where you're saying to yourself, oh, we actually needed this to be more sustainable.
And there's so many different parts. So then when all the parts go bad, as we saw, as they kind of middled through a couple of months of baseball, it becomes who's going to snap out of this and how is that going to affect the other hitters who are still in this?
Well, exactly. And should any of it be connected? No. But the number one thing you have to do, as we just mentioned, is first of all, you need to win the game, especially against a team like the Braves, as we know, have a season that they didn't think they were going to have. You know, they're 62-76 now on the year, decimated by injuries, as we know. John Brebbia was out there having to get the job done. We are familiar with his work watching the White Sox. And the Cubs end up overcoming one of their largest deficits of the season, down 5 runs and able to come back against the Braves to get that 7-6 win. But here's the other key to this. This is a graphic on Marquee yesterday. The other 3 comeback wins that were the largest deficits that the team had overcome were all from May and April. Given the offensive performance of the Cubs at that time, I don't think that should surprise anybody. But that's why it's important to note this one, because you want your team to do that type of thing again in September. They didn't get enough wins in August for me.
One of the reasons why I love this specific win so much is that when you look at the fact that they came back in a game in which a guy who has been just so important to their offense, Kyle Tucker, goes 0-for-5 with a strikeout. So he's a non-factor in offense. And you still find a way to work around that. I think that's important.
Well, so I was going to say the last 3 comeback wins that they had were May 25th against the Reds. That was a 5-run deficit. May 23rd against the Reds. That was a 4-run deficit. Then you have to go back to that game against the Diamondbacks that was crazy on April 18th. They only were 15-14 in the month of August. You are going to have to do some of that, the comeback wins, and sometimes by a large amount, to help improve your record by month. Over the past 3, I think that has really been an issue for them. So that, you know, 13-13 the month of June.
You're also going to have to win games when your number 5 starter takes the hill. And let's be clear, Colin Ray is their number 5 starter. If you can win a game in which Colin Ray starts, that is more than a win.
14-10 in July, 15-14 in August, as I mentioned. At least you're 1-0 in September. Do you want it to look that wild against a Braves team that's reeling? No. But do you want to take advantage of John Brebbia when the moment matters on a first pitch? That's exactly what Carson Kelly did. And the home run in the 8th inning, that was a 2-strike approach. It was refreshing to see. That was a shortening up of a swing. That was good contact. And then it ends up doing better for you than what you thought. And that's something that we haven't been able to talk about a lot for this team.
For the Cubs now, they're 5.5 games back in the standings, but only 5 games back in the loss column. That's important because that's what ultimately matters, because you've got extra games to make things up when it's just the loss column. I just am waiting to see. And I'm still, if you guys want in, Baby T, this includes you. Robbie knows. Layla knows. If you want in right now, this is a great time to jump on my bandwagon. Cubs will catch the Brewers.
When you say catch, what do you mean?
They will tie them in the standings between now and the season. I don't know if they'll win the division, but they can win the division.
So
you think
there's going to be a game 163 type of situation? Like, I need you to clarify.
There would not be a game 163 because the Cubs hold the tiebreaker, so they would win the division if they catch them. But I think just because they catch them doesn't mean they will hold them off when all is said and done.
Whoa. You said they were going to win
like
division
seven
now.
Different
no, I said
things.
The division's still in play.
So
I said they're going to catch them. They are going to catch them.
Let's look at the Cubs.
And Aaron Rodgers won the Super Bowl, yeah.
Let's look at the Cubs schedule. So you've got 2 more against the Braves. We just saw how difficult the winning one can be. You've got 3 against the Rays at home. There's some good giveaways, by the way. On Saturday, there's a Seiya Suzuki bobblehead. You've got the Nationals series this weekend. Harry Carey fan vote graphic tee is the giveaway on Saturday.
I like that.
You got 3 more against the Braves in Atlanta, then the Rays series. You got 3 against the Pirates. Then you have 3 against the Reds. 4 against the Reds because of the Sunday game. Day off on the 22nd. 3 games against the Mets. 3 against the Cardinals to end the regular season.
Yeah. Manageable games.
Another prediction from Marshall Harris. Chalk it up. So they'll catch them.
They can win the division. The division is, but that was my whole thing. Is like people are like, the division is over. It's not over.
You know what? I'm hopping on. You know what? I will join your
Thank
team,
you.
Marshall. I want
Thank
something
you.
To root for. I thought yesterday the electricity in Wrigley was awesome. I'm joining on.
You see
Wasn't
Layla's
it
face,
also
right?
like as quiet as I think like a classroom at times during the game though? Because I walked by at one point because I was in the neighborhood and I'm like, wait, is there a game going on? Because I'm next to this ballpark and it is. Absolutely quiet.
I think that's when they were down by 4 or 5 runs. I think that's
I would have been quiet too.
It was quiet in the middle, but then once the home runs were hit and they got a little bit closer, people started amping up, and then once they tied the game, it's great.
Marshall, I'm hopping on too.
Okay.
I'm feeling a little meatball-y today.
I don't think you need to be meatball-y. Okay. All right.
Wait. No, if you're going to contradict him, let him. What were you going to say, Tyler?
What do you mean?
You said I'm feeling a little meatball-y today. Was that the end of it?
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, and my point was you don't have to be meatball-y to jump on board this particular bandwagon.
Well, the more meatball-y I am is the more optimistic I am. So I too, like Robbie, want to see the Cubs fight back
I
in
want
this
fun.
Division.
Brewers
yes.
have 2 more games against the Phillies, and they got 3 against the Pirates, 3 against the Rangers in Texas, 3 against the Cardinals. That is 12th, 13th, and 14th. Then they play the Angels for 3 games. Then they have 3 more against the Cardinals. Then they play the Padres and then the Reds to close out the season.
I like that for the Cubs, honestly. I'm good with that. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the Brewers have lost some steam. They're tired. They've played 19 games in 18 days. They are exhausted. They've got bullpen issues. There are cracks. And Andrew Vaughn's also come back down to earth.
I think the bigger concern is also that Shelby Miller left the game after what he described was a pop in his elbow.
Pop goes a weasel because like a weasel goes pop.
Yeah, that is not what you want to hear when you were depending on your bullpen to help you. And they've had a lot of injuries in it. So that's something we'll get into with Russ Dorsey in the 12 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we will talk about the big deal that made shockwaves... I don't know, aftershock waves, tsunamis, relatively speaking, in the NFL. The Micah Parsons deal that sent him to now in the division. We'll get into that next here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score.